about to tune in to your number one radio station.
This is 106.1 KALA FM. I'm your host of Midweek Musings, Evie Breitbach. Welcome back, everybody, to Midweek Musings. It has been a hot minute since I've recorded anything. I haven't recorded since mid-January, and this is the first time I'm recording since pre-recording like 7 episodes, so this is interesting. But if you're new here, my name's Evie. I am a student at St. Ambrose University, and my podcast is all about philosophical or controversial questions that we try to tackle each week. The last couple episodes have been... I was getting my wires crossed. I thought the last episode was the Valentine's Day ones, but no, when you're hearing this, there will have been 2 more since the Valentine's Day series, but those were hilarious, so 10 out of 10 recommend going back and listening to that after you listen to this episode. But anyways, fun little fact about today's episode is that this happens to be the 1-year anniversary episode. My first episode last year came out the week of my spring break because I remember listening to it on my phone. I was like streaming the live radio on my phone and freaking out because my voice was on the radio. It was crazy, especially since it was just weird hearing myself on the radio when I was like at home, not live on there. I don't know. It was just kind of a surreal experience. But anyways, this is the last episode before I go on spring break this year. And I'm not going to have an episode go out on spring break because Lord knows I need a break, like an actual break where I don't have anything, like any responsibilities. And I know that I'm not going to get much more of that after college. So I'm just going to do that while I still can. But yeah, so that makes this week's episode the 1-year anniversary. So go me. And it's the 29th episode. So honestly, I should have made a bigger deal next time because that's going to be like the 30th. And it just would work out better if that was like the 1 year, but you know. Things don't work out always. So the last time we were together, we talked about if you are what you eat. And I'm going to be honest, I was not super surprised about what I found in my research. So I'm hoping that this week's topic will shake some people to the core, like we did in the old days. That topic of this week's episode, ladies and gentlemen, is the controversial discussion of astrology. So for people who don't know what the heck I'm talking about, you're all good. Because as you know, I like to start out with a little definition. I don't assume everyone knows everything about the universe like me, so. Astrology is the study of the movements and relative position of celestial bodies interpreted as having an influence on human affairs and the natural world. If you've ever heard of somebody say their zodiac sign, like Leo or Scorpio, or talk about Mercury being in retrograde, they're referring to astrology. It has recently been a hot button topic because a lot of people seem to put a lot of stock in astrology and others hate it so much. They actually get upset when they hear anything about astrology enough to the point of ridiculing those who like to learn about it. So I thought today we could settle the debate of if astrology really means anything, and even better, we can learn some history and some common themes in astrology. So let's get into our first segment.
It's time for a little bit of history.
Astrology, otherwise known as divination, consists of interpreting the influence of stars and planets on earthly affairs and human destinies. In ancient times, it was inseparable from astronomy, but now we understand astronomy to be a more scientific study of the universe. Astrology originated in Mesopotamia in something like 3000 BC. That's crazy. That's a long, long time ago. I didn't even know that they like had a comprehension of stars and like that there was other things out in the universe that weren't Earth. That's kind of crazy to think about. But anyways, it later spread to India. Astrology really took on its like Western form in Greek civilization during the Hellenistic period. Astrology entered Islamic culture as part of the Greek tradition and was returned to European culture through Arabic learning during the Middle Ages. So it wasn't whitewashed until the Middle Ages. According to Greek tradition, the heavens are divided according to the 12 constellations of the zodiac, and the bright stars that rise at intervals cast a spiritual influence over human affairs. Though Nicholas Copernicus's Copernican system shattered the geocentric worldview that astrology requires, interest in astrology has continued into modern times, and astrological signs are still widely believed to influence personality. So he basically destroyed the idea that Earth is at the center of the universe, but the constellations still do, in a way, rotate around Earth because we are really zooming around the sun. So throughout the year, we still see different constellations. So like you can see where their logic was on that. Basically, there are two very important things to understand about astrology history. White people most certainly did not invent it. And the people during these ancient times thought of astrology as fact. The stars and the moon and the sun were some of the first observable patterns for ancient people. So naturally, they did what they could with that knowledge. We are not here to ridicule these people for being stupid or for putting a lot of stock in it. Because just because we know more about the stars and space now, I mean, it had to come from somewhere. It's totally normal for some of these claims to get disproven, I think. Not that we know that's going to happen yet. We'll see at the end of the episode. But a lot of things in astrology do seem to still have a stranglehold on society. And so now you're probably like, you keep mentioning ideas and claims and things. Thanks for all the specifics. Like, what are the astrological things? So now I want to discuss a few of the myths or claims that astrology has made and the certain ways in which it is said to affect the human person. A lot of different ancient cultures kind of collaborated in a way to give us what we now know as the zodiac. When I say that, I mean that the original idea migrated over cultural lines and took on new forms, adapting and evolving with each new group that came in contact with it, which is a very common theme that we see in a lot of ancient concepts. They usually were the result of a lot of different cultures and groups evolving it. The zodiac started out in ancient China when noblemen looked at eclipses or sunspots as signs of good or bad times for their emperor. By this time, the idea had spread to the Greeks, who were super into math and charts, so they devised a whole system on how the night sky might pertain to us earthly beings. Imagine a straight line drawn from Earth through the sun and out into space way beyond the solar system. Then, picture Earth following its orbit around the sun. This imaginary line would rotate, pointing to different stars throughout the complete trip around the sun, or 1 year. All the stars that lie close to the imaginary flat disk swept out by the imaginary line are said to be in the zodiac. The constellations in the zodiac are simply the constellations that this imaginary straight line points to in its year-long journey, or basically whatever constellation is. I learned this at a planetarium show one time. It's not the one that's in the top of the sky like you would think. It's like the one, the season that you're in is the zodiac that's like closest to the horizon, I think, actually. Or maybe not. Don't quote me on that one, guys. So there's 12 different signs of the zodiac, and the sign that is in season when you were born is said to be your star sign. So people, pay attention, because I'm going to give you the rundown of what each star sign represents. Your star sign, again, is determined by your date of birth and represents your core personality, your sense of self, your basic preferences, and even romantic compatibility. There's 4 different categories of zodiac or star signs: air, fire, earth, and water. There's 4 star signs in each category. And believe me, history has had its say in all of this, and it is well thought out. Also note that the zodiac starts at a different time in the year, so the first sign up to the plate is actually Aries. People who are born under the Aries sign are born from March 21st to April 19th. So when you're hearing this, it is Aries season. It's a fire sign, and it takes the form of a ram. People who have the Aries constellation are said to be bold, competitive, ambitious. They take on challenges, but they're insecure. You can get way more detailed than that. So once you find out your own star sign, it'd be interesting if you did your own research, because I'm only going to give you like the top 3 most like notable traits, but you might be shocked on how close it can be to your personality. The next star sign is Taurus, and that's from April 20th to May 20th. It's an earth sign. It's the constellation of a bull. Tauruses are said to be steadfast, loyal, reliable, but stubborn. Then from May 21st to June 20th is Gemini, which is an air sign, and it's represented by the celestial twins. Also, this is my sign. Geminis are interested in many pursuits. They're versatile leaders, but impatient. And I hate how accurate that is. Also, a side note about Geminis is that for romantic compatibility, it's said that Geminis pair best with other Geminis, which I think is super suspicious because it's represented by twins. Interesting, am I right? Anyways, June 21st to July 22nd is Cancer's, which is a water sign, and it's represented by the constellation of a crab. Cancers are intuitive, passionate, loyal, but uncommunicative. And then Leo's are July 23rd to August 22nd. I don't know why I said July 23rd. Anyway, fire sign, lion, passionate, vivacious, confident, but overly dominating. And then that brings up Virgo, which is August 23rd to September 22nd. They're earth signs and represented by the goddess of wheat. Virgos are logical, practical, perfectionists, but they can be self-critical. September 23rd to October 22nd is Libra's, which is an air sign and represented by scales. And when I say scales, I mean like the type that you set a brick on and then it like weighs the side down. Libras, they strive for balance, hence scales. They're empathetic, but indecisive. Scorpios are October 23rd to November 21st. It's a water sign represented by the shape of a scorpion. Scorpios are said to be wise, courageous, intense, but secretive. And then we have Sagittarius, which is November 22nd to December 21st. That's a fire sign represented by the archer. They're knowledge hungry, dreamers, spontaneous, but flighty. And then Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. It's an earth sign represented by the sea goat, which is Capricorns are patient, dedicated, goal-oriented, but unforgiving. Aquarius is January 20th through February 18th. It's an air sign, but it's represented by the water bearer, which has always been kind of confusing to me. Anyways, Aquariuses are innovative, progressive, philosophical, but detached. And then the last sign of the zodiac is Pisces from February 19th to March 20th, represented by two fish and is a water sign. They're intuitive, empathetic, whimsical, but overly sensitive. So now that you know the basics of the different star signs, can you think of people you know and how they might fall into these different symbols? I sounded like a school teacher there, and I liked it. Sometimes it can be really on the nose, and other times not so much. Let's look at another popular myth of astrology. All my life, I've heard the phrase, Mercury is in retrograde, and I've never understood what it meant. Apparently, retrograde motion is when a planet appears, when observed from Earth, to reverse direction in the sky. This happens due to an optical illusion caused by differences in orbit. In the realm of astrology, retrograde motion has negative connotations. Because Mercury is the planet that is said to rule communication, those who are astrologically inclined expect frequent misunderstandings, scheduling problems, and disagreements with friends when Mercury is in retrograde. Since Mercury is also the fastest moving planet in our solar system, it enters apparent retrograde motion between 3 to 4 times a year for about 3 weeks at a time. Some more issues that may allegedly arise when Mercury is in retrograde is a general damper on everyone's mood, communication issues, falling outs with friends, brain fog, anxiety, headaches, and general misfortune. Again, there's like a ton more of this online if you choose to research it. And then the last astrological myth is pretty simple and everybody knows it. Like the last one I'm going to talk about. There's obviously more, but we can't discuss everything today. Anyways, full moons have long been associated with unusual and bizarre behavior. Aside from the whole werewolf thing, this is not even related to werewolves, but that can be part of it too if you want it to be. Anyways, full moons are said to make people crazy, said to make them commit more crimes, it makes animals go nuts, etc. So basically everyone's just like feral when full moons happen. There's not really much else to say about that. So now let's get into this stuff you came here for. Does any of this astrological stuff really hold up against science? Let's muse. Apparently, as many as 70% of Americans read their horoscope every day. And about 25% of Americans believe that the position of stars and planets affects their daily lives. And this is according to Pew Research Center, guys. They rock. They know their stuff. I can't imagine reading my horoscope every day. That just seems like a lot of work, first of all. for those that have never read a horoscope, it's just kind of like, here's what the planets are doing today, and here's how that's going to affect your day, basically. And then it's just slightly different every single day. First of all, I'd have to find one every day. I'd have to, like, figure out where I was going to read it. Second of all, I feel like that would do that thing where, like, you wake up feeling fine. You're like, oh, it's going to be a good day. And then you read your horoscope and it's like, oh, Mercury's in retrograde. Your day is going to suck. And then you're like, oh my God, my day is going to suck. I don't know what that's called, but that's what would happen, I think. Thousands of years ago, planets and stars were regarded as gods, right? So it's natural that people of the past chalked up the stars and planets to ruling our daily lives because they were considered to be gods. But knowing what we know now about the universe and about physics, we know that there are four essential forces guiding every object in the universe. You're going to have to hang with me on this because it actually makes sense in the end. But this should tell us whether or not the planets and stars have any effect on our day-to-day lives. So there's four forces: strong nuclear force, weak nuclear force, electromagnetic force, and gravitational force. Basically, the question most scientists asked when confronted with astrology is, which of these forces, if any, do celestial beings use to control our daily lives? Both strong and weak nuclear forces can be ruled out because they operate on the atomic level. So they're basically everywhere and nowhere all at once. But basically, they're not strong enough to operate on anything besides the atomic level. Electromagnetism and gravity, however, do not have limits on distance, so they have to be further examined. We know a lot about each of these forces, and even have mathematic equations that represent them. The equations can predict and prove things with almost perfect precision and accuracy. Looking at gravitational force as a possible reason that stars have an effect on us, we can actually plug in numbers to the gravitational equation to see if any stars are pulling on us. In short, they're not. They are all just too far away to have anything more than a minuscule gravitational pull on Earth. Even the planets within our own solar system don't have a strong enough gravitational or magnetic force to be considered a force on our planet. Even Jupiter's extremely strong magnetic field isn't as strong on Earth as a toaster is. It has the same magnetic pull on you as a toaster does, essentially, is what that means. The gravity of these faraway objects pulls on us even less than a car in your driveway would pull on you. And as you can imagine, that is basically none. It all kind of boils down to that none of these universal forces are being affected on us by planets and stars. And astrology, in short, is not true. That is what appears to be the case. Studies have been done to try and prove that astrology is true, but they always fail. In fact, amongst the scientific community, there is not even one acclaimed physicist that believes in astrology. And how often do the experts agree? Like, 4 out of 5 dentists agree on toothpaste. There's always that one dentist who's holding out. But if all physicists say that astrology is false, I mean, I think you got it right there. So unfortunately, I think astrology can just be chalked up to humans needing to feel validated on things. Like, you've been having a crappy day, so you Google, is Mercury in retrograde? And then it's like, oh, right, my life doesn't just suck. Mercury's making my life suck, you know? Or it's like, oh, this person is super intolerable. They must be a Scorpio. And then you find out they are a Scorpio and you're like, I knew it. That must be why I hate them. Instead of just, like, finding the real reasons that you hate them. Back to what I was saying about the studies that have been done to try and prove that astrology is real. There was a study where they brought in, like, astrological, like, experts or whatever. And then they got a bunch of people and they had them, like, try to guess their zodiac sign. And they were right, like, a few times. Like, the amount of times that you would be right by guessing. Because you have limited options. You only have 12 options. So, like, if you're guessing 100 people, you're probably bound to get a couple right, especially if you guess the same answer for all of them. So, like, beyond pure guesswork, they weren't, like, knowing people's astrological signs. But it's one of those, it's kind of like going to a psychic and, like, you give them information and then they, like, validate what you're feeling. And then you're like, wow, you know me so well. I can't say that I've never thought about astrology in that way, I think it's interesting because sometimes it does happen to make sense. And I think, you know, I don't know, because like what I was saying about me before, Geminis are interested in many pursuits. Yes, I am. But also, so is like everybody. You know what I mean? I've never met anybody who didn't have multiple interests. They also say Geminis are versatile. Okay. So is a lot of people, you know? Nope. Most people are good at multiple things. They're impatient. Okay. I don't think I've ever met anybody who wasn't a little impatient. Let's look at another sign, for example. Like my sister, who was on the podcast, you guys kind of know her. She's a Leo, right? Passionate, vivacious, confident. I would say she's all of those things. I also know a lot of people who are that way who aren't Leos. And also that seems like a very flat, like shallow way to view somebody, because everyone who appears confident is also very unconfident about some things below the surface. And so I think to say like, oh, you're just such a confident person and you must never be insecure. It's like, well, that's a little bold, don't you think? But anyways, I think it's definitely worth some further insight into your own life about what you think about astrology. But as far as I'm concerned, I think that about wraps up this episode. And wouldn't you know it, I think we have a true concrete answer backed by facts. That's so not the Midweek Musings method. I will see all of you back here, right? Because you're going to listen again in 2 weeks, because next week's my spring break. But until then, thank you so much for listening. And question everything. Okay, bye!
Midweek Musings airs at 6:30 every Wednesday night on 106.1 FM in the Quad Cities area, but you can also find it on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.